The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's good Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, on AZCentralSports.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. We're at the Patriots Outpost 18th tee box here at the Waste Management Open, our Friday show. Brought to you by the good people of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport in Mesa, it's just plain easy. Bubba Watson atop the leaderboard, which I like. Phil Mickelson still alive and kicking, supposed to tee off later today. Huge crowds yesterday. Today not going to be in the 80-degree range, but a good scene out here. We've got the Super Bowl this weekend. We've got some college basketball this weekend. A lot going on. Jahi Carson is scheduled to join us yesterday. Ran out of time. Jahi today said he'd be with us in about 10 minutes. Jude LaCava is going to be with us, I understand, today from Fox 10. Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us today from Vegas on the Super Bowl. And Bill Goodykoontz from AZ Central, movie critic Bill Goodykoontz, man of many talents, not just a movie guy. Of course, he's the chief film critic for Gannett and part of AZ Central, and has opinions on just about anything sports-related as well. So busy show, and there's some people that are going to swing by here at the Patriots Outpost. When you're asking yourself, well, what's the Patriots Outpost? This is where military can come watch the Waste Management Open. You have to show your military card to get in. Active or retired, doesn't matter. You can get in here for free. It's free food, free drink, great patio to overlook 18, a lot of fun. They've got one of the original Tuskegee Airmen that may be coming by here in a few minutes, and Wade Miley of the Diamondbacks, too. So you just don't know who's going to bop on in on the show on a day like today, plus people back at the Super Bowl as well. Eric Sorensen back in our command center, our Skyview Satellite Studios. E, what is our Facebook question of the day today?
Well, Brad, as you know, the Suns got another big win last night. They defeated the Indiana Pacers for the second time in a couple weeks. 4-0 road trip. They are now 28-18. And I don't know if you're aware, but the Suns play 9 of 12 in February at U.S. Airways Center. There's a good chance they could improve on the 6th seed, which they are right now in the West. So we ask you today, pretty simple, a true or false question.
Yeah.
The Suns will advance past the first round of the playoffs this summer.
You're absurd. So you know what a joke we look like? Which is fine. I mean, we're the ones that sat here last July and said they're going to be awful next year. They're going to be horrendous.
Who didn't?
Of course. So then we go into the Vegas betting line came out and the Suns 21 victories. Well, that got blown up pretty quick. Then it's are the Suns entertaining to watch? Well, of course they are. Then it's is Goran Dragic an all-star? So we slowly, without just saying, we were wrong, we screwed up, it's okay, we're going to be wrong again, that's part of the deal. The more they win, and look, they've got Charlotte tomorrow night, who outside of Kid Gilchrist, that team's brutal.
Yep.
They should win tomorrow night.
Yep.
So you know, past the, now you're instead of saying, are they going to make the playoffs, now you're already advancing at the end of January. Are you hearing yourself?
I am. You
you're
don't
asking questions.
Here's the thing. They're a 6 yeah. seed, okay? They're like right. 2 games away from being a 4 seed.
Will the Suns beat LeBron James in June?
Not
when is that question
that.
Coming?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look, if you don't have to play Oklahoma City in the first round, if you don't have to play the Spurs in the first round, I believe a guy named Brad Sesmatt yesterday on the same show said, if I'm the LA Clippers, do I really want to see the Suns in the first round? So my question really isn't that far-fetched when you really break it down.
I just asked if they want to see him in the first round. I'm not already willing to extend this thing into the second round. You're already willing to extend this thing into the second round in January.
I throw the question out. The people answer the question. That's how it works.
I'll throw the question out. So that's what I'm doing.
Facebook.com/sports360AZ. I knew you wouldn't like the question. Honestly, that's part of the reason why I posted it today anyway.
I know you want to annoy me with these questions. It's fine. If I start getting people saying, "Do you think we could match up with the Heat?" Or they've already beaten the Pacers twice. It's January and they beat the Pacers twice. It's fine. Do I think they could take the Pacers in a seven-game series? After the last two games they played them, maybe they could. I don't know, but let's not get that far ahead of ourselves. It's a fine question, Eric. I'm not beating you up. Facebook.com/Sports360. AZ, let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The big game is Sunday. Sitting here on a Friday, why would you not, wherever you are around the state, want to head on up to the White Mountains, go to Sunrise. They make snow at Sunrise. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Do some snowboarding. Doesn't that sound like a blast? Get on out of the busy, the hustle and bustle. Pull down the slots. Eat some great food. Have some fun at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. For the big game that is this weekend. So, speaking of the Super Bowl, as it stands right now, the commissioner is doing his state of the state. I always like when Roger Goodell gets up on the podium and talks about his game. Goodell even talked about fantasy football today. He said, quote, "I think it's great for families, great for fans, and great for football. It does not equate to gambling." Well, when you start out the conversation with, "I think it's great for families," and you're talking about fantasy football, that's a lot of spin right off the top. Because, I don't know, do all you guys play with your daughters and sons fantasy football? It's nice that Roger Goodell thinks that fantasy football is all family-friendly. It's gambling. Let's not kid each other on this. So, Roger Goodell in his press conference today. More from New York now with Jude LaCava, Fox 10. You've been doing Super Jude all week as a hashtag, is that right? I think I've seen you everywhere.
Yeah, that's the hashtag.
What has been your highlight so far?
My highlight, believe it or not, and I never thought that this would allow access to so many different types of, I guess you could say, options of coverage, and that is tweeting. Because I think when you take on an event like this, it goes beyond football, and it goes to the flavor of how this city and this region pulls off a Super Bowl. So the tweeting has been, quite frankly, a lot of fun. I mean, it's been anything from the folks on the street to the Mater D's to the good pizza to Joe Theismann and the Hall of Famers. So that's been kind of fun.
Who have you found yourself interviewing or standing near to, and you've had a moment of, "I can't believe I'm this close to this person"?
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Of course.
No, you know what it's like. You've been here, Brad, on Radio Row. Imagine fans, if you're in a large ballroom, and everywhere you look, every 5 feet you walk along, you see a Jerry Rice, you see a Ronnie Lott, you see a Howie Long, you see a Jerry Kramer, and it's the who's who of NFL history, past and present. That's kind of a kick, and we've tried to bring that to fans that love this game. But to follow up on what you were saying, I couldn't agree with you more on the spin from the commissioner as we speak on the state of the NFL. I mean, I think they got very, very lucky with the weather on Sunday.
Yep.
We know that. I did not like his answer. It was very standard on Vernon Davis, who brought up a great question about lifetime health care, which I think NFL players deserve. It's a short career. And I do believe that his answer was, "Well, that's what we've negotiated." I thought that was kind of weak. I thought, really, another great question was, would you tell a Native American to his or her face and use the R word? And he said, and answered it just kind of flippantly, 80% of Native Americans feel that's okay. I totally disagree. There's a lot of spin. I think he's really just an extension of the NFL owners. He got lucky with the weather, which looks pretty decent for Sunday. But there's still no denying the health of this league and the way the NFL continues to trend upward and onward.
No, I understand that there's a popularity number to it. It's Goodell speaking on the same day that David Stern is leaving. So today's Stern's last day, you know that. And look, David Stern did the Suns no favors. I thought he screwed them over with the whole Spurs debacle, the Robert Sarver ownership transition. I know Jerry was part of that, but Stern had to rubber stamp that. So David Stern walks out. I don't think Goodell, Jude, 5 years from now, is going to be standing on safe ground. I think there are cracks in the armor with the league and the concussion thing more than what is being let on. Would you agree with that? Is there that feeling back there?
There really is, if you look behind the curtain. And I think the real issue, Brad, is that if you get down to business here, he's catering to the two heavy hitters, Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft, and this whole idea about a two-point conversion and really flipping the extra point is an example of that. I also think they have to be a little bit leery of overextending their reach to London, because I don't think that works. And I also think that lurking, and it ain't going away, is this concussion settlement issue that still is the dark cloud hovering over this game. So I would agree with you. Off the record, he's been kind of referred to as a czar, a guy that is catering to the powerful few owners, and at times has overlooked the state and health of the game.
Before I let you go, what's your feel about the game?
How about this? We talk about the game. That's the Super Bowl. You know, it is. Peter King had a great line today. He said, it's like having too much ice cream. You know, it's that week of more media. There were maybe 300 stations at Radio Row. It was outrageous. How many voices do we need to break down the game in so many different ways? But
right.
If we talk about it, and here's the thing that I looked at, two parts. Was the weather going to play into Denver's favor in Peyton Manning's passing game? And it looks like it will. No extreme wind.
Yeah.
And if that was going to be the case, I like the Broncos. I just think that offense is too sophisticated, too improvisational. I know for a fact that Denver is happy they're facing Seattle's defense and not San Francisco's. And I think that if everything goes as planned, I think the Broncos win this football game.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time. Safe travels, as always. Thanks.
You got it, buddy.
It's Jude LaCava with Fox 10 back there doing his thing. Appreciate his time. On the other side, Jahi Carson. So could Jahi Carson have been an NFL player? I've had coaches on the high school level, that even college coaches, that said if he didn't do basketball, he could have been a corner or safety. I'm going to ask him that next because he's a big sports guy. Jahi Carson and ASU the other night had a huge win. They're on the road. Jahi Carson joins me. Brad Sussmat, Patriots Outpost. The coverage brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy, on sports360az.com and azcentral.com.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Sports360AZ.com, AZCentralSports.com, White Mountain Radio on Twitter. I'm Brad Sussmat. Today at the 18th tee, broadcasting from the Patriots Outpost, Bubba Watson atop the leaderboard here at TPC Scottsdale. Jahi Carson joins us for a couple of minutes. I write letters to Jahi on the site, and he usually gives me a thumbs up. I don't pound on him that much. And the other night, I thought about writing Jahi a letter. Actually, over the last couple of weeks, I thought about writing a Dear Jahi letter. I wrote one last June that I'm glad you're turning pro. I wrote one in January about him moving on. Where are you right now? You're noisy. What are you doing?
We actually got breakfast right now, so I'm eating just a little bit.
You're eating while doing the interview. Is that interview etiquette 101 that you're breaking?
I mean, you know, Herb got us so congested with the time frame that, you know, I had to fit my main man in somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you eating right now?
Just a little cheese omelet. You know, it's a little team breakfast, a little bonded.
Well, cheese omelet while doing an interview. Do you do coffee, orange juice? What do you drink while you're doing your breakfast?
Just orange juice. Apple juice. I try to stay away from the coffee. You know, that'll give you staying teeth.
That'll take away your vertical jump, that coffee will. Jahi Carson is with us for a couple of minutes from up in the Bay Area. So you beat Cal the other night. Is your team back on track, Jahi?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the slump that we had for myself and my team is a little bit over with. I think that we came together as a team and just, you know, flushed out all the negative energy and started playing for each other instead of for individuals. So I think that's helped tremendously, and I think that people can see that on the court, that we're playing collectively and together, which is helping us get W's. So I definitely think that our funk is over, and I think that we're going to continue to play better basketball and knowing the best is yet to come.
Where did that negative energy come from?
You know, I think it's when, you know, it's just human nature. You know, guys on defense tend to think about their man scoring and not helping each other out collectively. Another offensive end, when you're not playing defensive together, you know, you try to make things happen on your own individually instead of playing together within the team, which I don't think nobody was being selfish or anything. I just thought it comes with human nature and guys wanting to make things happen on the basketball floor. I think that once everybody, you know, flushed that out of their system, I think that we came together and started playing the best basketball that we started to play this whole season.
Jahi Carson with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. All right, so I've seen you play since you were a little runt in high school, all right? And I felt like you might have been putting too much pressure on yourself, and people were writing that and talking about it. Have you been putting too much pressure on yourself this season?
I never said I was putting too much pressure on myself. You know, I just, you know, there were times where I wasn't playing ability. You know, I've always had pressure on myself since I was a kid growing up. I have always been the smallest guy, and I've always been the guy that everybody has slept on. So I put that pressure upon myself early on in my life. But I never really think about the pressure. You know, I play with pressure my whole life. So I was just missing shots, you know, not playing to my capability, not having the same energy or intensity, not pushing the basketball the way I know I'm capable of. So that was just me not being focused and me not being on my game. You know, that happened to a lot of people. But, you know, I feel like I'm back into my right state of mind, and I won't see that slump anymore.
So people were asking me if the pressure of the NBA and you saying that this was going to be it was getting to you. There was nothing to that, is what you're saying.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, when I was coming off of my season of being ineligible, and it was going to be my first year coming to even play at ASU, you know, people had high expectations of me coming onto the floor. And I think that was more bigger pressure than anything that I've ever faced. And I think that I performed pretty well last year. So this year and me saying that I was going to the NBA was nothing compared to the pressure that I felt last year. So I don't even think that is something that I was really focused on. You know, I want to win more than anything. So maybe a pressure of winning more games than I did last year was coming into effect. But me going to the NBA had really no effect on my game.
Okay, so the narrative that people have tried here in the last couple of weeks of maybe Jahi would stay another year, that's not happening, right?
I mean, I don't think, I really don't care what anybody outside forces say about, you know, me wanting to stay another year. You know, they're not the GMs or the NBA scouts or the coaching staff that coaches me. So, you know, that's just people's opinion. You know, when things are going right, things are going good, people are on my side 100%. Then, you know, when I have a little funk and I'm not playing my best, you know, people want to criticize and start to talk about other players that are better than me. So I really don't listen to the people. I just listen and stick with the people that have been loyal to me and that are going to have my back regardless, and no matter what.
And I've seen that in you and your writing on Twitter that you've I wouldn't say you're defensive, but I think you're aware that there's been some people questioning it. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's always going to happen. You know, when LeBron wasn't winning championships, he wasn't the best player in the NBA. When he was, everybody wants to be on his side. Same thing with Kevin Durant now. You know, he hasn't won any championships, so people are starting to question his ability. So I'm not really worried about it. You know, we continue to win games, and we continue to do what we're capable of doing, all that change.
Jahi Carson with Brad Sussmat. Before I let you go, could you play in the NFL if you weren't doing basketball?
I like to think so. I think I've taken my speed to another gear, and it's possible. But, you know, they take a lot of beating in the NFL. Now, that's not something I would want to do. So that might not be a career that I would want to step in.
I remember watching you play a couple high school games, and there were football coaches in the stands that told me, if he would have been at my school, I would have moved him to safety or corner. I would not have allowed him to play basketball, and he would have gone on to the NBA. You also tried baseball out for a little bit in high school. Could you? And so I'm curious on this one. As you look at the Super Bowl this week, as a fan, who do you like in the game Sunday?
I like the Broncos. You know, I've always been a fan of Peyton Manning. He's one of the best quarterbacks, you know, of all time, in my opinion. You know, he's smart, and he has a good football IQ, and he gets his teammates involved early. And, you know, he's all about winning. So I'm going with the Broncos. I think they got a nice little thing going on, a nice little team chemistry. So I'm going with the Broncos.
And it's nice that you don't have a game Sunday. You actually get to play tomorrow, and you'll be back. Are you guys going to watch the game as a team, or how do you do that on Sunday?
Yeah, we're probably going to watch it as a team.
Yeah, yeah. You have a game. The game at Cal the other night was terrific, and now you've got Stanford. How do you feel about where the team is right now, about the midpoint of the season, Jahee?
I think that we're coming into our peak. You know, everybody's playing great basketball. Everybody knows that we pretty much are trying to make every game a must-win here from on out. You know, we want to have a nice little record in the Pac-12. You know, we see a lot of teams are dropping. We see a lot of teams are losing. We see a lot of teams are also winning. So we want to try to stay away from the losing column. And I think everybody's all in one with winning basketball games. And if we just continue to be all in one with winning basketball games, I think we'll be fine.
Have you paid attention to U of A's winning streak?
Yeah. You know, they're the number one team in the country. You know, they pop up on every sports station. But I try not to be worried too much about them because I'm really not a fan of, you know, that school. But, you know, they're number one in the country. Somebody's going to knock them off, and hopefully it'll be us.
Yeah, that Valentine's Day game, have you got that one circled? You're 2 weeks away from maybe meeting an undefeated number one ranked team in your arch rival.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we're a little shorthanded. You know, we can't. I feel like we came into the fight 9-15. But I think we're going to be full strength this time, and, you know, they haven't seen this team. You know, last time we played them, they saw a team that was not collected. And, you know, if they beat a collective ASU basketball team, I'll take my hats off to them.
I'll let you back to your breakfast. I appreciate the time, as always. And I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
There's Jahee Carson for a couple of minutes. Walk away from his cheese omelet. I don't know if he walked away from it, but... You know, the whole thing with Jahee has been recently that he should come back for another year, and I think that's nonsense. Do I think he put pressure on himself? Absolutely I do. He wasn't the same kid. When you watched him play the other night against Cal, that was one of the best performances I've seen out of him since he's been in a Sun Devil uniform. I've been very open. I'm a huge fan of his. I've seen him since he, like I said, a little run. And I think you've got to watch him over the next, well, there's probably, what, 5-6 home games left, and then he's done. He's out of here. It's just like when James Harden was here. People didn't really get to appreciate James Harden enough, and so they've got some huge home games coming up. I'm not in the business of selling tickets, but I am in the business of pointing out that locally, if you have not seen him play yet, that's the guy you want to go see play here in the next few weeks because he's well worth the price of admission. Eric, did you get anything out of Jahee in terms of sticking around? I think he just kind of blew me off on that one, which is fine. He pretty much just shut me out on that angle.
He kind of gave you the answer that I would expect, sort of. Yeah, the critics are going to say what the critics are going to say, but I'm more concerned about what the NBA execs, GMs, and teams are saying.
Right, but if those execs and GMs were to say to come back and say, you know, you could use another year, I still think he leaves. He's already said he's leaving. I think it would damage him if he came back and said, well, boy, I didn't really have the year that I thought, I don't think my draft status will be quite what I thought, so thus I'm coming back for another year. I don't see that.
Plus, Jahee Carson, Brad. Jahee's a smart guy, and he probably has looked up and down the ASU roster and said, okay, Jermaine Marshall, senior, Shaq McKissick, senior, Jordan Baczynski, senior. Like, a lot of the key pieces around him are going to be graduating or have no eligibility left, so that alone would probably make him lead towards going regardless of what kind of season he ends up having.
No, I always have liked watching him play. I think the Colorado game last weekend is where I start seeing him come back. But they play tomorrow. They play tomorrow against Stanford, and then they come home next week to the Oregon schools. That U of A game on Valentine's, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Up next, we go to Vegas. What is Jimmy Vaccaro seeing in Vegas? 39 years in Vegas around this Super Bowl. Goody at the movies as well because we got commercials. The numbers of celebrities that are in these commercials – David Beckham's doing H&M. Danica Patrick has got a GoDaddy spot. James Franco's doing Ford. Bob Dylan is going to roll in there and do a Chrysler commercial. U2's doing Bank of America. And Russell Wilson's on a spot with Harry Belafonte for American Family. I mean, it's like a who's who. So I know Bill will weigh in on that. The Muppets are in on a spot and much more. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Brad Sussmat with you at the Patriots Outpost, 18th Tee, Waste Management Open. Our coverage brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. AZ Sports, AZ Central Sports, and Sports360AZ.com.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ, and of course, AZ Central Sports now partnering up with us right down the Arizona Republic and their crew as we are sharing content and working together as a team. And on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Time to go to Vegas as we do on Fridays. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort, joins us. How many Super Bowls is this for you, Jimmy?
All of them, kid. What can I tell you? 48 of them. I remember the first one, and obviously we're going to get to 48 on Sunday. It's a good ride, and we got a long way to go yet. But each year there's something a little bit different, and no different this year with obviously little sidebars here. But business has been good, Brad, in the city. And just the early feel and now the middle to late feels like we should maybe near the record of handle that we've had the last few years.
What was the handle in year one of Super Bowl I?
Well, first of all, in Super Bowl I, they didn't keep track of those things. Nevada Gaming Control started keeping track of Super Bowl Sundays around 20-some-odd years ago. The early indications, we were around the $40 to $50 million range, which crept up about 5% every year to the nearing of $100 million mark now. So it is the second busiest weekend of the year, really, really trailing New Year's by not much. And then naturally the first 4 days of March Madness isn't equal. But the records from like 25 years ago, we'll start tracking in the mid $50 million range, and now we're about to crack the six-figure mark.
What was it like on Super Bowl Sunday in those early years that's different about now, other than the people, okay? Other than just the people, Jimmy, what's different about Super Bowl in Vegas from Super Bowls 1-2, from when you first started 48 years ago on it?
Well, first of all, there wasn't many ways to bet these games. There was simply the side, the total, and an occasional halftime you might dig up somewhere. And it was more of a niche crowd then, and obviously the pomp and circumstance wasn't there. It used to be like a half-hour pregame show, go right to the game and after, award the trophy, then simply go home. But now it's morphed into an entire event. Naturally, the tourists will start traveling, will start landing today. Those are the things that are quite different, where it was just simply exciting, but it was simply over real quick. Now the build-up from 2 weeks prior to the game, that's the huge difference as far as I'm concerned. It was simply a lot more people involved, and it simply actually, you know, made for a great weekend, and it trickles down to everybody who works in Nevada. So it's been a great folly, and naturally for people to make a lot of money on otherwise what usually was a dead weekend way back when.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort. If you're heading to Vegas, that's the place to swing on into. I know a lot of people around Arizona heading on up. That's where Jimmy is, South Point Resort, South Point Casino Resort. So the game itself, where are we at right now as we get towards Sunday?
Very quickly, my friend is like, when we posted this thing 12 days ago, it was an absolute one-way attack on the Denver Broncos. Most casinos opened the game around to pick them, but all the money in the world came in on the Denver Broncos. Settled at 2.5 the following 12 hours, and it lay there for about the next 10 days with money back and forth on both sides. But we're starting to get more of a tip now. It's still Denver's game. I mean, the sidebars, the marquee player, it's about 60-40 as far as ticket count is concerned. Possibility of this game going to 3, which would be a major move for the Nevada casinos, but possibly we could be there. So right now, a little equal action, but more tempered towards Denver. I would suggest most places in Nevada will be rooting for Seattle come game time.
Appreciate the time as always, Jimmy. I know you're busy. Thanks.
Bye, buddy.
It's Jimmy Vaccaro. Man is just jamming right now this time of year. Good in the movies in about 7 or 8 minutes. So a couple things on my mind today that I want to get to that are outside of just the game itself. Shane Doan doesn't get very excitable very often in postgame. When he plays, he will drop and go after guys. He's one of the toughest competitors I've seen in Valley sports. It's not just his sport that he's in, but he's just a tough dude when he's playing. Very seldom do you hear Shane Doan get pissed, but he did last night. His team laid an egg, were uninspired, didn't play well at all, in an overtime loss to Buffalo of all teams. Here is Shane Doan after the game, and you don't hear him mad very often.
We scored two goals in a minute and a half or whatever, and we didn't do anything after that for I don't know how long. And let them think they can play and get them, let them back in the game, and they get a lucky bounce, and they find a way to win a game. And we find a way to lose another one.
An ugly performance by his team last night.
We're up 2-1 to start the second, and we absolutely do absolutely nothing. Nothing as a group. Absolutely nothing. We have a chance to put a team away when you're up 2-1 at home, and I don't think we got a shot for 12 minutes. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Ugly, 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 embarrassing. You never hear Shane Doan go off. And that's fine, because so far this year, it's been pretty uninspired. As well as the Suns have played and have captured the imagination of some fans' hearts and minds, the sporting community here, that we actually are probably going to have NBA playoff basketball this year. And it's actually going to be a young team that's getting better and going the right direction. The hockey team, on the other hand, has not done much of anything to get people excited. Sure, it's nice they're still here. Sure, it's nice that there's an ownership group in place that talks about being committed to winning. The revenue with the city of Glendale makes front page news last Saturday that it's far less than what the team had expected. Surprise, surprise, surprise. More problems now with the city and the hockey team. Oh, that's ever going to change. But for the captain to just lay it out there that, and that it's right. I'm not banging on him, but it's so right there for the team to grab a bit of the marketplace and instead to just kind of flounder along. And the only way that sport's going to make it is to grab more of those people that want to go to a couple games a year, not the diehards that are going to be there. You guys are already there. This isn't banging on. This is a fact. It's a fact. And to grow the sport, you've got to play better, and they haven't done that. And it's very disappointing. It really is. On the Super Bowl side of things, away from Goodell, Campbell was with us, and I asked Calais, is he going to be rooting for the Seahawks, even though it's the NFC West arch rival? Will he be rooting for the Seahawks on Sunday?
No, not at all. It's hard for me to root for Seattle. I mean, you know, when our division was terrible, it made sense to try to root for our division just so we could get respect. But now that we have that respect, I can't root for Seattle. It's just hard.
No love lost in the NFC West, according to Calais, towards Seattle.
I mean, it's a rivalry. You know, anybody in your division naturally becomes a rivalry. And when you play against a team and the mentality you have to have against them, you really develop a dislike, a strong dislike. I mean, it's, you see it every time we play them or every time we play San Fran. Either way, those games are like, you know, the most physical, most brutal, just most trash-talking.
Kurt Warner was with me earlier this week, too. Will the Seahawks' inexperience, and I have one player who's ever been in a Super Bowl, will it hurt them? This was Kurt Warner with me earlier this week.
Not related to when I went with the Cardinals, and I don't know what our average age was, but as far as playoff and Super Bowl experience, we didn't have very much. It's a very overwhelming situation. So I think the key is always handling the emotions leading up to Super Bowl. I think once you start the game, you know, it's going to be business as usual as much as just playing and doing the XOs.
That was Kurt Warner. Michael Bidwell weighed in. Michael Bidwell, not with us, but Michael Bidwell spoke back at the Super Bowl about concerns the city of Glendale and its abilities to host the Super Bowl next year. Bidwell concerned about the city's inability to lock down guaranteed hotel rates for the big game. Bidwell said the city acting selfishly, and it was contributing as a contributing factor as to why Super Bowl events were going to other cities. So here's Michael Bidwell flexing his muscles a little bit on this front. Bottom line is the New York Super Bowl is going to come off, I think, from my view, that it's going to come off well, that the weather ended up being something to talk about but wasn't a factor. You can't predict that every year. My understanding is Philadelphia now wants to get involved to host the Super Bowl. And other cold weather cities will say, hey, why not? Let's roll the dice. it's going to be something that to use against Phoenix, Glendale, in future Super Bowls. The weather, not that big of a deal. We're Chicago. We don't care if it's 20 below. Let's host a Super Bowl in Chicago. We saw what happened with Atlanta this week, how they couldn't figure out how to drive around when snow hit. Doesn't seem to matter. They're going to go after a Super Bowl. It's no longer a given that we can use as a chip. We're a warm weather climate. We have great golf. No, what's gone on this week in New York hurts the Phoenix-Glendale Super Bowl bids in the future. There's not a problem with it. There's no question about it. So when they get back and when we go through the debriefing of this, I think that the future of having games here, you've got to overcome things like what Michael is raising. Is it that big of an issue? Why is it there always seems to be something with Glendale, too? There's always something. There's nice people over there, but I don't get the sense that anybody is truly ever happy and satisfied. Maybe that's just politics going on behind the scenes, but for the Cardinals owner to raise this point, that's a concern. New York, it sounds like it's just another Super Bowl, another event going on in the city. When it's here next year, the Super Bowl will completely overtake everything here. It will be the biggest deal outside of this golf tournament that we're sitting out broadcasting from. On the other side, more Super Bowl talk on the commercials end. Also, movies with Goody. Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, all-around good sports guy, AZ Central's Bill Goodykoons. He joins me on the other side. Our coverage brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport in Mesa, I've been telling you for a year and a half now about how Gateway Airport in Mesa is just plain easy. With more than 35 destinations on Allegiant, look, they've helped us out. We've taken the show to locations all around the country. I love flying out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, fast, easy, friendly, affordable. They've got into Vegas, the Bay Area. You can get into Utah, Bellingham, Washington, a lot of places. I'm going to take Gateway into Rockford starting in the fall. My daughter is attending college in Chicago. Just plain easy off the 202 Santan Freeway in Mesa, off Power Road, with the newly expanded terminal, free Wi-Fi, charging station, shopping, food. It's all there. JustPlainEasy.com. That's JustPlainEasy.com. You're around Gateway Airport. It's Just Plain Easy. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. White Mountain Radio. And on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
And now, because you know everything going on in the Super Bowl except for the commercials and all of the nonsense, and you don't know what's going on at the movies, and you need to go out tonight or tomorrow, because, guys, let's be honest, you're going to be in lockdown mode on Sunday. It's time for Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. That would be Bill Goodykoons. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you bring something up that kind of bugs me. People talk about the Super Bowl commercials. Now, that may have peaked a couple of years ago. I don't know. But the thing that bugs me now is you don't have to wait anymore. They all put them out on the line before the game. You can see the stupid things now. Where's the surprise?
My wife came in the other morning, and she was bawling, which happens a lot in our household because she's married to me. But she was bawling because she saw the puppy commercial. Let's be honest, Bill. We know what we're going to see on Sunday. Animals sell. We're going to see chimps. Whenever I can see a chimp, I'm in a good mood. We're going to see puppies, we're going to see animals, right? A lot of these commercials, they figured it out.
Well, yeah, because then you get the women watch too. Then the women don't. You know, women are increasingly a larger audience for football and have been, you know, that audience has been growing for a while. And I think at some point they decided maybe, you know, even GoDaddy decided that maybe, like, you know, the raunchy commercials are not necessarily the way to go. Although, I don't think anybody ever, you know, sex sells is a phrase for a reason, but I think they've calmed it down some.
Well, did you hear about our girl Scarlett Johansson in the Super Bowl? Did you hear what's going on? Because you just talked to her like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes, I did, but no, I did not hear this.
So your girl Scarlett pulled out of her Super Bowl commercial with SodaStream. And I have no idea as to why. All I've seen on Twitter is Scarlett Johansson no longer representing SodaStream. But Lawrence Fishburne is going to be selling Kias during the Super Bowl. I can't wait to get my Kia. Arnold is doing the Bud Light spots, which I've seen last week. They're uncomfortable to watch because he just looks creepy.
He does.
Have you not seen those?
No. I don't watch them. I try to save it for the. I don't like to watch trailers for movies because I like to go in there and I don't want to be misled and thinking it's one thing and it's another. I'd rather go in cold, and I don't like to see these things for the Super Bowl. And I mean, I used to when I covered TV, I had to write about them all the time, and that sounds, you know, either like really stupid or really fun. It's probably a little bit of both. But it's amazing how, if you're a football fan, if you're a football fan, which I am, which you are, you know, I'm really watching, no matter what my job is, I'm watching the game to watch the game. I want to see what happens. And the commercial comes on, and you just have this, like, Pavlovian response to just, like, shut your brain down or go to the bathroom or go get a soda or something like that. And you can't. and sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'm like, oh, I missed it. Speaking of missing it, one of the things that I did not realize in the moment, which is what we just have on the 10th anniversary of, is the wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. And I was watching the game. I was doing the commercials. I was talking to my TV critic friends that are doing the same thing. I got an email from another critic. Said, "Did you just see that?" And I was like, "See what?" And I was like, "Oh, I lost it."
But you know, the whole Janet Jackson thing, it speaks to, I think, in a way, of how conservative or slash immature we may be in this country. So I saw a woman's breast. So I saw a woman's bosom for a couple of seconds.
And
I mean, I know. No kidding, right? I mean, I've been married for 23 years. So Janet Jackson's pinky popped out. It happens. It's not that big of a deal. But in our country, in our culture, it's the 10-year anniversary of the wardrobe malfunction. I mean, and it kind of gets to me, I guess, that's what we're caught up in.
I don't know how close attention Eric's paying, but I'd really like some of that taped and recorded and, like, to keep some of that forever.
No, but I mean, what are there guys that sit at home and play a bag and say, I saw her breast.
No.
Wow, it's a breast. I mean, come on.
No, you know what it is? It's just something for the sort of morally righteous to complain about. It's inventing a problem that doesn't exist so you can complain about it.
And no, that's,
I remember,
true too.
After that, I had to write a lot about it, like everybody else did. But one of the things I did is I went and looked at FCC complaints. And the thing about the FCC is they're not like a big brother kind of thing. They only impose fines and penalties if people complain. You could dance naked in the middle of a sitcom, and if nobody complained, the FCC is not going to do anything about it. They only respond to complaints. So I looked it up, and with Janet Jackson, there were a bunch of complaints. But a lot of them are this type where a group will send an email, and everybody will make the same complaint. It'll be like a chain kind of thing. The only thing that anybody complained about other than that for the FCC for like 3 years was Howard Stern.
and he had
a ton of them.
Well, I mean, then you're right. It does gives one side something to complain about. Over on the movies end of things, I read this morning your movie preview, and you're again making it sound like there's nothing worth seeing this weekend, Bill. You're on a roll here.
January's tough. I mean, there's you know, they blow it out in December. They get all the stuff that they want to get nominated for Oscars done. Every week you ask me, it's like, you know, what is a movie that I can take my wife or my girlfriend to and I can actually sit through without, you know, gagging? And this week, that movie should have been Labor Day, because Jason Reitman directs it. He directed Up in the Air. He directed Juno. He directs these really good films. Josh Brolin is in it. Kate Winslet's in it. These are really good actors. And you think, man, if there's anybody who can do these, you know, a movie with any sort of romance in it that I can stomach, it's going to be this one. And you get there, and it's just like the sappiest Lifetime cable TV thing you ever saw in your life, except like with really, you know, like, talented people behind it.
Did you crush it? Did you rip it apart?
I didn't totally crush it. Not like some things. Here's the quick version. Josh Brolin is on the run. He's a convicted murderer, but he's got like this, you know, he doesn't just have a heart of gold. He's like the greatest man who ever lived. And he sort of halfway takes Kate Winslet and her kid hostage. And while he takes her hostage, among the things he does is, besides cleaning out her gutters, besides fixing her car, besides learning to dance with her, besides teaching the kid how to throw a baseball and hit a baseball, one of the things he does is he's also an excellent cook. And there's this scene where they make a peach pie with these overripe peaches that is the most hilariously meta, you know, symbolic thing you'll ever see in a movie. I mean, it might as well just be like, shack, 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 you know, and their hands are just like dripping with all this syrup, and it's just ridiculous. But, I suppose on the hair front, pretty good.
All right. So there's nothing worth seeing this weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what Harkins at Camel View is doing that's pretty cool is they're showing the Oscar-nominated short films for animation, live action, and documentary. And, those are cool ones that you always, when you're watching the Oscars and there's that lull, and it's like, give something away that I've seen before, give something away that I've seen, and those always come up. And, I think it's cool to see them because they're really good. I mean, there's some pretty famous people in them. Martin Freeman, the guy that plays Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies and plays John Watson in Sherlock, the PBS thing. He's in one of them, and they're. It's interesting if you really like movies. It's a pretty cool thing to see.
Before I let you go, what's your feel about the game?
I think Denver's going to win, but I'm not a betting man to begin with, and if I was, I don't know if I'd bet on that one. I could certainly see either team winning, which is the ultimate cop out. But I hope for like a double overtime. Never had that before.
Double overtime. I want Richard Sherman to get a pick six, just because it'll drive some riders crazy. I want Marshawn Lynch to run for 200 yards and then speak for 30 seconds, because it'll drive some riders crazy. And I want Peyton Manning to have a good game, because that'll drive some riders crazy. And if Peyton Manning ends up winning, then there's going to be those that have said, well, he really isn't that good of a quarterback. If he loses the game, there'll be those saying, see, I told you he's not a good quarterback. And those people have been drinking heavily. And I think the buffoonery is going to come out Sunday night, Monday morning in some ways. It'll make for a fun show on Monday. But
by the way, my favorite quote of the week is, I'm all about the action, boss.
Yeah. Boss. See ya. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have fun.
You got it. There's Bill Goodykunst. Goody at the Movies. Chief Film Critic for Gannett, and, of course, AZ Central. Appreciate his time. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yeah, I drive the 2014 Ford Fusion. No, I don't sit here with a stack of notes about what I'm driving, because I can just tell you in full confidence that the Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. 3 days in a row, I've driven, 4 days in a row, I've driven up here to the TPC Scottsdale. And 4 days in a row on my way into work, I'm making calls, I'm checking in with people, Eric and I talk, put the show together, do what we do, doing business of all sorts. Being a dad, too, it's important for me to get out to my daughter's, last night was senior night, I was at her soccer game. My little 9-year-old, get him out to some basketball practices. Do the things that I do when I'm not doing the show, that's important, too. Can you say that you have a vehicle that makes sense for you? I can say I do. That's the 2014 Ford Fusion from Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it upright. He's a big sports guy, of course, played out here in a couple of the events this week. It's good to see Tim around and the support from Santan Ford. Stop on in for yourself. They're a big part of what we're all about. I fully recommend them to you, Santan Ford. It's off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford. It is all about you. There's a bunch of parties. I don't know how much time I've got left in this segment, but there's a bunch of parties. I don't have much time, because the music's playing, that are going to be here next year. The Super Bowl's here next year, so I'm looking ahead at some of these parties. Like the 15th annual Super Bowl Gospel Celebration is going on. Patti LaBelle's singing. Natalie Grant. There's the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl with Joe Montana and Deion Sanders. All this stuff's going to be here next year. I find that interesting, too. They have the puppy show, the puppy parade, and all that, but Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, on White Mountain Radio from the Patriots Outpost at the TPC Scottsdale. I'm Brad Sussmat. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.